look at this. Would you look at this? That's right. Welcome to NFL Australia. Can you believe it? It's Thursday, September 10. We're about to crank into the 2020 NFL season. I doubt it'd ever bloody well happen. Old mate over here reckoned it probably never would happen either. No one thought it was going to fucking happen. I am your co-host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes, a Rolling Stone, Triple J junkie. Literally, whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet walking around stuff. On the other side of this here microphone is our man in Amsterdam, or at least, I don't know what, Preston?
Thornbury, mate. Thornbury,
there you go. He's the biggest fan of the Catfish and the Philadelphia Eagles right now in Melbourne. Oh, man. He tries to sing in a band called the Ramshackle Army sometimes as well. It's Gaz. Gaz, what's going on?
I didn't know we were going there that early. Jesus. Hello, people.
Yes.
Hello, Jimmy James.
Are you excited, man? It's our first episode. It's just before week one. We're basically both trying to figure out what the fuck we're doing heading into this season. So I feel like this entire episode is going to be loading motherfuckers up on predictions whilst we also try to figure out what the hell's going on in the NFL, right?
Oh, there'll be angry rants. I had nothing to do midweek lockdown on lockdown four, stage four. So I was glad that you sent me a message going, hey, stock up on all your NFL knowledge in 24 hours and let's do this thing.
Yeah, I mean, this was the great part. Like, we had our fantasy draft, just like pretty much everybody did in the last week or so. And ours is split all the way across the globe at the moment. We've got some bloke in Delhi. He might be in Baghdad now, actually. It's pretty weird. And we've got dudes in America, East Coast, Midwest, and the West Coast. We've got, I think, three members in Australia. They're in different time zones. It's a shit show. Absolute shit show. And the best part is, I'm just like, I got no fucking idea what's happening. Wait, shit. So I tried to cram pretty much an entire off season into 2 weeks in the lead up. And I don't know, man. I feel lost. And this is what this is for. Basically to get my thoughts on the NFL in order from week to week on NFL Australia. I'm not going to pretend to be a fucking expert. I'm not going to pretend to know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm just trying to get my ducks in a fucking row, Gaz. That's what it's all about.
Mate, I'm feeling your pain. I 100% feel your pain. Like, well, our fantasy league is spread across the world. I mean, I got guys in Point Cook. I got guys in Epping. I got guys out in I got one in Sydney. He's had to travel the furthest. So for anyone over in the other side of the world, that's all about an hour and a half circumference from each other.
Well, being in Victoria, we're in the lockdown, you can't go more than 5Ks from your fucking house at the moment, so you'd be up Shit Creek regardless. So.
Might as well be the other side of the world, eh?
Exactly. So this episode of NFL Australia, we're going to lean a little bit heavily on the old NBA Australia, which I obviously host. We're going to do a bit of yeah-nah. Love a good yeah-nah. It's an easy, simple way to get around big questions in a quick way. So we're going to do a yeah-nah for every single one of the 32 NFL teams in this one episode, which is also going to line up with my predictions, I think, of where they're going to land by division. So we're going to do it by division just to throw things out there. And because no one ever does anything by division when it comes to the NFL. It's a joke. Oh, boy. Anyway, but we're also going to have some dumb predictions. What do you reckon? Some fuck it predictions, some Outback Takehouse, a couple of simp predictions. Basically, I'm going to throw some shit out there. And we're going to hope that it lands, Gaz. Sound good?
Yeah, look, I've got to admit that it's so early in the season and coronavirus and the lack of preseason games where I can judge people by their performance has meant that I'm just going to hate teams because of historically hating them. So my opinions in this are probably going to be in line with that.
It checks out. This is like literally, it's going to be all my fantasy research just rolled into fuck that guy. I hate that dickhead. And then we're also going to finish off with basically a pick for every game in week one, which kicks off tomorrow, Australia time, tomorrow morning, which is today, America time. So let's bloody well get into it. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back. We'll get stuck straight in to a bit of the off-season catch-up and then some yeah-nahs. Sound good, Gaz? Let's do it.
Yeah, mate.
Right, so quick and simple off-season catch-up, Gaz. I mean, we're sitting here in lockdown. It's been a bit fucked, you know, we get that. You're in Melbourne, COVID's running rampant. The government's like, stay in your fucking house. And everyone's like, oh, fuck you. And then it's like, all right, I guess we will. We'll have to wear masks as well. I mean, it's pretty weird, pretty strange.
Yeah.
But at the same
time.
Well,
look, this is This is the least amount that this, it's funny that I've been locked in my house since, you know, pretty much since March, except for a small break and screaming to get out. And just as we're about to get out, it's Aussie Rules Finals. Tony Hawk 1 and 2 comes out and the NFL starts and now I don't want to leave my fucking house.
So I'm glad you brought up Tony Hawk 1 and 2 because I just conquered 2 last night and I was fucking stoked. I've got so you just got married this NFL offseason, which is pretty funny.
Thanks, mate. I don't know how to take that. She's upstairs. Thanks.
That's all right. I've known your lovely wife for a very long time. I've known you for a very long time. And it's still delightful. You got married. You just beat the buzzer as well before COVID.
The week, literally the week before. If we got married a week later, it wouldn't have happened.
So hilariously, I was at my cousin's wedding for that exact same weekend and the exact same thing happened obviously there. But obviously, the big difference I think between yourself and I, between, you know, aside from other many differences, I have almost 2-year-old kid. And so I feel like the conversations that you have with people who have kids and people who don't have kids about lockdown are very fucking different. Because the ones with kids are just like, I want to fucking kill myself. I want to die. I'm sick of everything. This is the worst. but people in, just without kids are like, I'm a bit bored. And it's like, yeah, all right, go fuck yourself. How's that sound, basically?
Mate, I can tell you now, and some of the Donners boys, we have a social group who play, we have PS4 parties, and it's our way to socialise when we can't go to the pub. Like, the guys who are cranking their way through their games, like Tony Hawk and Wreckfest, and they're the ones who have kids, because by the end of the day,
you just want to sit down.
I just want to go out by myself. Whereas for me and the newlyweds here, on lockdown, we go and spend some time each other binge watching The Boys or some other random TV show because it's the only time we get to interact.
Nice. Yeah, well, it's been fun. It's been wild. Like, basically, it was going fine up until we hit stage 4 lockdown in Victoria and they took away childcare, basically.
As
soon as childcare goes out the window and I've got the squid 24/7, it's over. Like, I'm just like, Jesus, this is rough as guts. Yeah. Salute to literally every mum in the history of the world who's had to stay home with the kids because it's fucked.
Oh, dude. And everyone, I've seen it from mates, those who do have the benefit of having a job and get to work from home but also are in homeschooling as well and trying to juggle all of that while running a normal household. Like, I know, you know, my heart goes out to you kind of thing. But then we realized we all were stressed about, oh, no, we've gone into stage 4 lockdown. And then they put the rules in. I went, oh, wait, my entire life has evolved around the last 5Ks from my house. I don't go anywhere except the bottle shop and the supermarket, so I'm not really going to miss much.
Yeah, I mean, I had that moment, like, I think I was driving the kid home from daycare one time. And you're like, oh, man, there's this, like, we get to cross over the freeway. So you go across the bridge, you can see the entire city of Melbourne laid out, and it's fucking nice. And I'm like, fuck, I can't even remember the last time I was actually in the CBD. Holy shit, that's a worry. And then, I mean, it was probably for a gig, but it had been a little while before. And, just one of those moments where you're like, Jesus. And now, obviously, with COVID, it had been fucking ages, and you're like, oh, now I'm really sad. But anyway, hey, we've at least got sports.
Footy starting, AFL finals is on the horizon.
It's great.
Here we go.
I've got a shit ton of NBA. It's all good. So, but in terms of the NFL offseason, Gaz, I mean, we had a shit ton of big, big, big trades, which usually don't happen in the NFL. But we did get a fuck ton of contracts as well. You get a quarter of a billion in some cases with that Deshaun Watson. You get a half billion in Mahomes' case. What the fuck are we all doing here? You got Jalen Ramsey, you got Nuk Hopkins gets a massive, massive deal. What was it, yesterday?
I couldn't believe it. Like, for him to get, what was it, 27 mil a year for 2 years as a receiver? Like, not that he doesn't deserve it. He massively deserves it and changes Kyler Murray's outlook moving into his second year. But realistically, it's just going to make everyone's just going to scratch their heads about what the Texans were doing, giving so much money to Watson after just trading away his tightest receivers, one of the best receivers in the league. It just makes kind of no sense.
It's okay though; they've still got Will Fuller. Jesus!
Oh, come on, he's done well on my fantasy team,
mate. He's good
when
for
he's
four,
on the field.
Yeah, he's good for four
when
and
he's
half
on the
games,
field.
Four and a half games a year, and away we go. Obviously, the big off-season moves. look, we had a lot of players drop off in terms of COVID and just going, nah, I'm opting out. I mean, half of my Pats defense is now fucking gone.
Well, wait, Pats have a defense?
Not anymore. Jesus, tough scenes, man, tough scenes. We had trades. We obviously had the head scratcher. That was. It's weird to even think about how long ago it was that Hopkins got traded for David Johnson.
I looked it up. I actually had to look it up before this was going. I'm like, was that halfway through the season? When was it? It was fucking March, mate.
Yeah, it was March.
It was March.
It was dumb at the time.
The world's burnt and been rebuilt since then. Like, it makes no sense.
It was stupid at the time. And like with everything since, you're just like, it still makes zero fucking sense. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
And then you think, Bill O'Brien. But still, look, we've sort of come through it all. There's been a shit ton of roster churn. It'll probably take 2-3 weeks for everyone to get their brains around who the fuck is where at the moment. Because without it really does make you appreciate preseason a lot more as well, right? Because
I was about to say that. We complain about preseason and all the injuries that happened during it, and now we haven't been able to, you know, understand that players know how to play with each other. Look at the Bucks. Like, all of the new players in the Bucks, and you're like, well, can they play together? Who knows? Gronk hasn't been seen since he was on a boat partying with, you know, after losing 70 pounds. And who knows what happened in the meantime?
WWE, Gronk. Like, we've had like three different stages of Gronk. He was like fucking turtleneck on Fox Gronk. We had WWE Gronk. We had party boat Gronk. Cruise
it's
Gronk.
Honestly,
it's like, what
it's
going
the
on?
Stages of, it's the stages of grief, Gronk. He's retired. He went through all the stages of grief. And now he's come back and just accepted that he needs to be with Brady. That's really all. That's all that's happened. Full circle.
I love it. Obviously, one of the big things is that the Pats have a different quarterback for the first time in 20 years, which is pretty fucking wild. I'm still trying to wrap my head around that. I love it. I don't think it's going to work out great for the entire team this year, but I mean, it'll be fun. And I mean, we've had. What, the usual rash of injuries just towards the start of the season, which you usually get a lot more during preseason, but we've still got a Von Miller one today, or yesterday.
Yeah.
That fucking sucked.
Yep. And
Derwin James.
And Hunter for the Vikings has gone down. That's been the last, 24, 48 hours. He's just been put on IR, so there's at least 4 to 6 weeks. But, there's a lot hitting the injury report, but it's only like, soft tissue injuries of 2 to 4 weeks that's happening. It just feels that the body's not getting hit, right? Not that I'm, you know, seeing the backseat quarterback, you know, as the armchair quarterback that I am. But you just see have coaches coming out going, we're going to hit our quarterback in our training because they need it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they're going to be stumped mullets in the first game, right?
Yeah, it is one of those things, like in terms of the NBA bubble, when they finally got dudes back playing, it's like, oh, shit, we're really worried about soft tissue injuries because these dudes haven't played game speed for ages. It'll be the exact same in the NFL. I mean, you can practice as much as you want, but you're going to see, like, weird calf tears and shit like that left, right, and center, no doubt, which is going to suck. Yep. But, I mean, look, it really does make me appreciate having been back in Australia for, what, almost two years? And what I used to love being in the States was just the warm-up to the NFL season, because it did start in July. Because everyone's just fucking, it's like, oh, it's the dog days of summer. And as soon as the baseball all-star game happens and you head into August, you're like, oh shit, college football is literally just around the corner now. And Labor Day's coming and it's basically football time now. And here we go. And you have all the fantasy stuff. You've got literally all of the previews and off you go. And you have like a good 8-week buffer before you hit the season. This year, it's like, you've got 3 days, fucking deal with it. And here we are. So, I don't know. Yeah. So, with this all in mind, let's get stuck into these 32. Yeah, Nas, Gaz, are you ready for this? I'm going to ask you.
I've got no idea what's coming.
It's a yeah, nah question.
All right.
It's a yeah, nah question for every single one of the 32 teams in the NFL. And we're going to do it in order. Of where
my opinion counts for shit. It is literally my opinion, and no one can get offended, but I'm probably going to say it anyway.
And
all right, let's go.
It's going to be the predictions by division. So let's start in the AFC West. We're going to go.
Oh, the AFC. I'm an Eagles supporter. I don't give a fuck about the AFC.
Exactly.
So we'll race through this.
This is easy. The Chiefs, can they repeat, Gaz? Yeah, nah.
It's tough.
Hasn't happened for 20 years, basically.
No, but you know what? I'm, as an Eagles supporter who really grew up on the Eagles through the 2000s in the McNabb era, I love Big Red. I love Andy. I was so stoked that he got his trophy last year. If anyone's got a chance with Big Red and Patrick, Big Red's got to get him to the playoffs. It's up to those boys from there, right?
Love it. I think they can.
Yeah?
I think they can. I think there's but a very, very good chance.
As we're talking about injuries, it only takes, you know, a Kelsey or a Tyreek or a Patrick to go down. And the season's railroaded, right?
Yeah.
And so are some fantasy teams.
100%. I think they returned 20 of 22 starters from last year, though. So I feel like
that's not bad.
In terms of continuity, sort of yelled about it on NBA Australia about continuity going to the bubble when you're playing on a neutral site. Now we don't have fans for the most part in any of the NFL stands. Continuity, I think, is just going to be a big thing of like knowing what the fuck to do, especially on defense. I think everyone's going to be sitting there going, wait, how do we? Oh, fuck. What's the coverage?
Yeah.
Shit. Ah, boring.
Yeah.
Left, right, and center. So I think the Chiefs are pretty nicely positioned. But to be fair, so are Baltimore. But anyway, number two in the AFC West, I've got the Raiders out of nowhere because I think there's a surprise team in this division every fucking year. Gruden may just kick them into shape. Now, this is one I've tossed around to eight, like up and down. These next three teams in the AFC West are basically interchangeable. The Raiders, the Broncos, the Chargers. The Raiders have moved fucking city in the middle of a pandemic and they're playing an empty fucking kajillion billion dollar fucking stadium in front of no one. This is a question, literally. Are they fucked? Yeah, no. Yeah, no.
I was wondering, I was like, man, like, I don't know that I'm... Gruden and Carr, like they've hitched their wagon to that combination. And if it doesn't, this has got to be the year, right? There's no excuses left. If it's not done, if they're not at least a contender, then one or both, well, they can't get rid of Gruden. It's going to cost him a fucking fortune. He's got to have, what, 7 or 8 years left on that 10-year contract?
Yeah, it depends on like, what their the team options are. But fuck
yeah, man. Well, that's it. Yeesh. That's it. So I would have to say if I was – well, I got Hunter Renfrow on my fucking fantasy team, but, like, I'm going to go with yes, they're fucked.
Yeah, look, my heart is just screaming, yeah, they're fucked. But I feel like there's just always one weird, sneaky team that completely defies expectations and comes from nowhere. And after looking at all these teams, I just come back and go, ah, fuck it, the Raiders may as well, because it's just so weird that they may just, like, why not go full fucking weird and go full Raiders? You never go full Raiders.
A couple of years ago, right, so, you know, knowing what the Raiders were in the 80s and then the shit show they went to get their number one draft pick to pick Jamarcus Russell to pay a rookie, an unproven rookie, 70 fucking mil or whatever he was paid for him to turn... He to be his own private shit show, and then the waste, and then lose all that money, waste a whole bunch of money, and be in the bottom for so long. Then get Derek Carr, then get Gruden, and a whole bunch of moves where they had potential, and it's all come to naught, right? So
it's tough.
They're one step away from doing a Jags this year and tanking it.
This is a boom bust. Pick my Raiders. Oh, right. Raiders. So, like, I feel like they could. This the thing is, this entire division could end up like fucking 8-8, 7-9, pretty much beyond the Chiefs. And it wouldn't surprise me because next up we've got the Broncos. Is Drew Locke awesome or not, Gaz? Yeah, nah.
Is nah. Or the word awesome is a stretch.
100%.
Is he serviceable? Maybe. Having losing Von Miller, does that hurt a lot? I go, yeah. So I just got a lot of time. I've always had time for Von Miller. He wears glasses. He looks smart. Like, it doesn't happen often in the NFL. So, I'm going to go with Drew Locke is definitely not nah to awesome.
All right. Sweet. Next up then. Chargers coming last. What week does Herbert start? Give me week 3. Yeah, nah.
3. I'm going to go with yeah. I'm going to put that out there. Yep.
I had that higher, and then I thought about it more, and I'm like, Tyrod Taylor's going to last 2 weeks, and then go, fuck it. We'll just put Herbert out there. Like, fuck.
I love Tyrod. He's got, he gives a shit. You've seen him in some of the Hard Knocks, and he just seems like a good dude. But you just can't. Every time he's given that shot, he's got 1 or 2 weeks, and then, I don't know, he just puts one that shits the bed. I reckon, you know, when you've spent that money, or you know, in the draft collateral, he's gonna have to start. If they don't start 3-0, then the call's gonna go out.
Yep, that's a good call. AFC South, I have the Tennessee Titans winning that division. I didn't like this. I never liked it. I never like anyone in the AFC South because it fucking sucks. Tennessee, Indy, Houston, Jags. Indy are the sexy pick. Tennessee made the playoffs last year. Made some noise, obviously.
Sorry. Do not call Philip Rivers' team sexy because he'll have a kid with it.
He's already had, like, just two of us. Two of them since we've started talking.
Yeah, you can't. That's the same as Antonio Cromartie, right? Back in the day, you can't talk about sexy around him. To be honest, I've got a soft spot for the Colts this year, right? Just because I've always had a spot for T.Y. Hilton. Like, guys worked real hard with some real average quarterbacks and still come out on top. Same with, honestly, the early days of Hopkins. So you've got to have a soft spot for him. I want Ryan Rivers was always kind of there in stats but never got over the hill. So there's a soft spot for me that wants them up. But Tennessee, come on, right? Getting Clowney on that defense, like he's never been a stats machine, but he does cause some issues, like knocking fucking Carson Wentz out in the playoff, which I'll remember that for a very long fucking time. But you know, they're doing all right. We've got a pretty good running game, I hear.
Yeah, they do all right. So there you go. I've got the South, I've got Tennessee. So the question is, like, was Tannehill a flash in the pan last year? Yeah, nah.
Nah, I don't reckon they're a flash in the pan. I reckon they'll top off that division this year.
Yeah, I think their coaching staff's too good. I think they're built too well, especially defensively. They've now plugged in some gaps with Clowney, as you said. And I think they'll be just good enough to easily win this this division because I think Indy, people like Indy. And I'm like, I don't know, man, because my question to you guys, is Rivers washed?
No, I don't reckon. I reckon he's the kind of guy, change the scenery, sports town. Yeah, I reckon. I reckon he'll have a – it'll only be a season or two, I reckon, because he's getting up there. But, look, I reckon he'll do it. He won't do a Drew Brees and get run out of San Diego and then hit his second stride and set the world on fire. But I reckon he's got a good couple ahead of him. And they can afford to bring in a good draft pick next year and sit under Rivers for a couple of years.
Love it.
Build the next generation.
Houston, we've got the incoming third, and I don't like them at all. I think this year it's off a cliff. It's the Bill O'Brien cliff. This is the question. Is Bill O'Brien the worst coach in the NFL? Yeah, no. He might be the worst. He might be the worst GM.
Yeah, that's where I was going, right? I don't think he's the worst coach because he can win a fucking game. So even if his decision is to hand it off to other people for decision making, that is still a decision. He can win a game and put his players in a position to win. Does he make head-scratching moves where you're just like, what the fuck, Bill? Yeah, definitely.
So I very smartly got David Johnson on my fantasy team because I'm like, it's either going to win me the league or I'm going to lose anyway, like whatever the fuck. Because Bill O'Brien is just going to turn him into the litany of Houston running backs we've had where they've just cranked out yards, run them into the ground for a year or two, and then fuck them off.
Yeah, palm them off.
I'm not entirely convinced you trade that guy for DeAndre Hopkins, but whatever.
Isn't David Johnson got like one leg at this stage of his career?
Who knows? The dude got beaten for a job in Arizona last year by basically anybody who could run in a straight line, which wasn't great. Yeah. And then I've got the Jags. Is this obviously the worst team in the NFL? Yeah, no.
I think the biggest question is, are they fucking deliberately trying to be the worst team in the NFL? Because they've clearly nailed the worst team, both management and performance. Like, Gardner Minshew, like, I don't think that was a smart call. I think they thought they were being humorous and he just became a cult fucking hero. Like, what a dude. He is like King Redneck, and that moustache is life-changing.
I love it.
But just the way you've, like, Jalen Ramsey, to palm him off, to get rid of, like, to get rid of Fournette this week, like, I get it that he hasn't performed and he doesn't fit into your, like, your strategy, but to get nothing for him, like, was crazy. I get that they tried.
It's a
but also
in the draft from a couple of years ago. It's just fucking crazy.
Yeah, but also the amount of money they spent last year on Nick Foles. Now, as an Eagles, like, a couple of years ago, I had to weather the storm of all the media bullshit of the Carson Wentz versus Nick Foles, and he had four different opportunities to be a starter before that and couldn't last a season. So Nick Foles is a good bit player, and he got on the right time, he got on the right streak, but to hand over your dynasty for him for that much money, it's crazy. And to hand for the – I know we'll get to the Bears. I won't jump the gun because we'll get to the Bears at some point.
I do love it. So the Jags, literally the one thing they've got going for them is the fact they've got a swimming pool in the stadium. And without fans in there, the STDs in that pool might actually become sentient. So they might actually just grow a new team, I feel like, in the next year or two.
So you're talking Space Jam.
100%.
Space Jam NFL.
Space Jam NFL. I love it. All right, AFC North, probably one of the most interesting divisions going. It's hard. I want to think the Baltimore are going to falter. I want to think that. And then I think about it a little bit more and realize that Lamar Jackson's a fucking gun. And
yeah,
he might be the best player in the NFL. So my question for you, Gaz, will Lamar win MVP? Because I've got Baltimore still finishing on top of the AFC North. Yeah, no.
Wow. MVP? It's not about whether he can. I'm just thinking about who would knock him out. And I feel like Chiefs will try and be a bit more spread. I can't see anyone else who'd come up. They've got a strong across the board, right? He can, like, his run game, plus they've got some decent wide receivers now and a running cast to support him, so you can't just tone in on him. I reckon, yeah, he can do it.
Let's
go for it.
Back-to-back MVP.
Let's go.
I love it. Back-to-back.
Yeah. That's until he gets his next fucking Madden cover and breaks his leg three yeah. times, because he dodged the Madden curse so far. So, yeah.
I'm so worried about him getting just cleaned up, and then it's like, oh, he's done an ACL.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, I've got it second in the AFC North. I don't like this. I want to sort of – it's just because I just have a really unending hatred of Big Ben Roethlisberger. Does Ben help them get back into the playoffs though, Gaz? Yeah, no.
I'm going to go with yes, and I'm going to do this on the back of a couple of – this is going back to our fantasy research, right, and listening to, you know – the guys, the heroes at the Around the NFL podcast and a few of the other guys that I listen to. Pittsburgh are rolling the dice in Big Ben's last couple of years. This may be his last year on the team. They're going to have to refresh. Juju, after all of the stuff that's come out from Antonio Brown, calling Juju out as not a true number one receiver, they're going to, like, it's going to come hard. You know, Connor's out. They've got a good running game. They've always had a good defense. Look, I reckon adding that quarterback piece versus Rudolph last year, who just became a fucking punching bag for Myles Garrett, I reckon, look, he could be the difference maker. And I'm going to go with yeah. I'm going to go with yeah over nah.
So they brought in Eric Ebron as tight end as well, right? It's like, fuck. I hate Pittsburgh, but I really kind of feel like if Ben's elbow's all right, they could be a bit dangerous. That defense is just nothing to fuck around with either. So,
yeah.
I think they're in the playoffs. Cleveland. Yep. That's right. I've got them at three. I don't think they're that bad. Am I wrong? Yeah, nah.
Here's the problem. Here's my assessment of that.
Look, I don't want to shit on your point there, Gaz, but here we are.
Look,
Cleveland. Come on, man. That was a pretty good Odell joke, I thought.
Cleveland are fucking always better on paper than they are on performance. They're a fucking team of stars, not a star team, right? Like, you can't have Kareem Hunt and Baker and OBJ and just a fucking Myles Garrett and just a cast of like top draft picks and excellent players who've done well on other teams and then come and finish middle of the road. Like, it just, you can't blame anyone else but the team vibe, right? Like, they just, yeah, it's a team of stars, right?
New coach, I feel like that might be almost enough to lift them out of the doldrums. And I feel like they'll be surprised. They'll be better than last year. They've got Chubb. They've got Kareem Hunt in the backfield. Odell, Jarvis Landry. Austin Hooper is a tight end this year. I love that. I mean, I just kind of like it. I think they're going to be better than I think.
So we're thinking it.
That's dumb, but yeah.
I know. So let's do this thing where we're playing the line. And the smart bet always with the Browns is that they are going to underachieve versus what you think they are. So a couple of years ago, they were the sexy team where they came in with this swagger and this attitude. And, you know, like Baker was coming in from Platten Flags in the middle of the opposition field and had OBJ and all this sort of stuff. And then they just kept underachieving. So Baker copped this thing where everyone was behind him when he had that attitude and they were winning and was achieving. But the moment he was doing that when they started, everyone was on his ass. And then he went into his shell to just play and everyone thought he'd lost it. So it'll be interesting to see which Baker comes out this year.
Yeah, he turtles pretty hard, huh? That's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati, the yeah, nah, is Joe Burrow's the real deal?
Well, I don't know, mate. So how many depends on how many cigars he actually fucking inhales, right? Whether he can keep up the cardio. He talks a big game. He was good in college, but how many college quarterbacks playing a nice quarterback-friendly system have we found fail? So
the thing that always worried me about Joe Burrow is the simple fact that, A, he's like a million years old, and then he really just sort of came on as a senior. And you're like, all right, so did something just click? Was the talent always there? Or is it just like I'm an older than everybody else mature quarterback who's playing fucking in college? Like, what are we doing? So that's a big question.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think Cincinnati is still fucking trash this year, and I don't want
to. Oh, definitely. Definitely. They're a good couple of years away.
AFC East, I've got the Bills winning this because – I'll tell you what, Gaz, I've got the question for you. Can they really supplant the Pats? Yeah, nah.
I've just got this. So this is one of those mental things, right? I'm not a big AFC person, but I just can't get through my head about how trash the Bills have been, right? We're going to have guys you want to have a beer with, and I can guarantee you the Bills Mafia are going to win, at least get a second prize in half of those. And Sean McDermott, when he took over from Jim Johnson as the Eagles defensive coordinator, the great Jim Johnson, when he had to retire from cancer, when he took over, he was just a rubbish defensive coordinator. So, then he's gone to, like, I love the fact that he was an Eagles boy at some point. I just can't get through it, but Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, like this, they've got some proper talent there, right? Like Tre'Davious White, like they've got a defense behind them. I reckon they're going to take it out. I can't get the Pats, as hard as it is to say that you can doubt the Pats winning anything. Like, I just reckon they're going to have a rebuild year.
Yeah, so that leads me very weirdly into number two, because that's the Dolphins. I don't even have the Pats second in the AFC. They're my fucking team, Gas. It kills me. But for the Dolphins, I mean, how long do we have to wait until we get to it? I'm going to give you week five. Yeah, nah.
Mate, it all depends on how long the beard can last. How much Fitzmagic has he got left? Right? He can come out and throw, like, he's one of the best fantasy quarterbacks in the league. He can't even keep a starting job, but he will throw touchdowns till the cows come home, right?
Yeah, so, he's a great fantasy quarterback for 4 weeks at a time.
That's it. But, like, the moment that they stutter, the moment that they stumble, the non-crowd is going to be shouting for Tua time, yep. right? Like it's only a matter of time. And you don't, if you're not expecting to really challenge, you've got a journeyman quarterback, you're not really expecting to challenge for the playoffs. The moment you think the guy's not going to get fucking killed, then you stick him in the game.
So right? This is my point with the Dolphins. I think they come second in the AFC East. I think the Pats and the Jets are, I think these three teams are all in struggle town a little bit, but I feel like the Dolphins, they've just got something about them that we saw last year where there's a little bit of chutzpah. They got a cool coach. They've now got Tua. I feel like if Fitzmagic goes, what, 2-3 weeks where he's just like, eh, they just go, fuck it, Tua time, let's go. And then they get a bit of a roll happening behind them, a bit of momentum. I think there's like a 5-week stretch. I think there's easily a 5-week stretch in this season where we go, oh, fuck, Tua. We forgot about Tua, and he'll just absolutely tear shit up. So that's why I got the Dolphins coming in second. I've got the Pats coming in third. I guess the question is very obviously, like, can Bill work his magic on Cam? Yeah, no.
Yeah, what's Cam got left? Look, I think if there's anything that plays to it, it's Bill's running back by committee, right? Like, so everyone's going to be fresh. Like, you spent first round, second round on Sonny Michel, and he's still first fucking round, one of three.
Yeah.
Like, he's not even a fucking bell cow now. So, look, that's going to keep guys. Cam had his best years when he had the Williams and, like, that kind of running back by committee where it was just fresh and you wore down the defense. They can't keep up with him. So, look, that might play into Bill's hands. If anyone could be adaptable with what he's got around him, it's fucking Big Bill, the evil empire. Is Kenneal Harry, is he going to come on? Like, they're expecting him to.
This is the thing, like, my expectations for the Pats this year are, like, just real fucking low. But, like, the one little skerrick of hope I've got in my brain, in my animal brain, is just, like, just Cam Newton throwing to N'Keal Harry just over and over and over again. And Harry fucking streaking down and tearing motherfuckers apart.
And then they follow Harry and then Edelman comes underneath.
Yeah, but the problem is then they get back on defense and they get scored on automatically.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, fuck. Exactly. So it is crazy. This is the first time they're starting a QB that they didn't draft since 93.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Yeah, there you crazy. Go. This is a fucking Jimmy James hot take right there.
Yeah, so it's pretty wild. So I feel like, yeah, my beloved Pats, it's just going to be, it's not going to be a down year. It's going to be a meh year, I think, this year.
I'm going to go from two. I'd put them two.
Nice.
I've been all right with most of your picks, like, but I reckon, I'm
going to go. Jets, I've got them coming fourth. Is this the year we finally see something from Darnold? Yeah, nah.
Look, the only thing that's green that catches on fire is a dumpster. So, look, I reckon the real hot take for this is, does Bell make it to the end of the trade period?
Ooh, I don't think so. I think it's not even coded messages, basically, of him wanting out now at this point, is it?
Yeah.
I'm just going, it'd be nice.
With the money they're going to spend and the fact that what we said about COVID and soft tissue injuries and yada, 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 and people going down, by the time you get to the end of the trade period, someone like Bell is going to be worth a fucking fortune if you're about to rebuild.
To be honest, so, he might be out of the season by the time this show is finished, actually. So
true.
That's how he rolls. All right, NFC West. This one is like, I've gone over and over and over this because it's the strongest division I think we've got in the NFL this year.
It's probably.
Yeah, I think I've got
that decision. The decision might change by mid-year.
But
depending on how the South goes, to be honest.
So I've got Seattle winning the NFC West, and I've gone back and forth a couple of times on this. Because, I don't know, I feel like there's just a bit of a dip out of the Niners. They've been good. I think their defense will still be really good. I just don't know about Jimmy and his receivers. But anyway, Seattle, the big question, does Jamal Adams make their defense elite, elite, elite? Yeah, nah.
Make their defense... look, I don't think Seattle's ever relied on one player. If you look at the Legion of Boom, apart from a couple of years from Sherman, a lot of those players have failed elsewhere. I don't think you can put it onto one player. I think it really depends on, once again, Russell Wilson can't avoid injury forever, and he's carried that team on his back for fucking seasons, right? When are they going to get a real receiving core? Like, that guy can't just be the team since Marshawn Lynch left, right? So, look, I don't think that it's decision. The difference maker is Adams. It's really going to come down to what their offense can do. And I'm sure you're going to move on to the 49ers. Are they next?
They are. The 49ers are next. Look, I feel like the defense for the Seahawks with Shaquille Griffin, Jamal Adams, Quandre Diggs, Bobby Wagner, like, there's just some pretty bad MFers on that team.
Yeah.
I kind of like
it. It's the attitude of the whole division, mate. The whole squad.
Yeah.
Right. Bobby Wagner, what a vicious, like, in the best way, in the best possible way. What a vicious prick. So, you want him on your side.
You've got, yeah, I've got the Niners next up. And I feel like this is just like, the NFC West is literally just like a blood feud from like top down, and it just doesn't stop against anybody. I do just worry Deebo Samuel, that's literally like the best fucking receiver the Niners have got, right? Kendrick Bourne,
yep.
Brandon Ayuk, like, just, I don't like that very much. Their defense, look, though, is pretty awesome. They've still got Nick Bosa.
But does it really matter when of 35 offensive plays a game, Big Jimmy's going to be handing off 34 of them?
True.
Like, what does it matter what your receivers are? So,
still got Mostert and Coleman, you're fine.
It's fine.
I don't know. The yeah, nah, though, is can they actually lean on Jimmy and can he throw them back to a Super Bowl? Yeah, nah.
That's going to be a nah. I don't reckon they make it. There's a lot of teams in the NFC who have taken a step forward, I think. I don't see the Niners returning.
Love it. All right, Rams, are they literally the most unpredictable team to predict in the NFL this year? Yeah, nah.
Well, they weren't this year? Yeah, 100% this year. Like, they just spent a high draft pick on, what's his name, Cam Akers, and who I got in my fantasy team. Fucking cheap as chips, mate, because he's going to sit on the sidelines for the first half of the year, and then hopefully they turn him into what they did with Todd Gurley 2 years ago, and I start him every game in the second half. But to be honest, for a team, like, they spin me out. For a team who spent so much money getting, you know, basically rebuilding a secondary with superstars, picking in every top receiver that was available like a couple of years ago, just to give Goff someone to throw to, and having Gurley making it that far and then shipping them all off a season later, like, not trying to build that vibe and that team atmosphere. Like, look, McVay's good, but fuck, he can't polish a turd.
Yeah.
So I just don't think, good strategy, good team, but I think they're missing pieces. I don't think they'll be taken out of the division.
They've got blue chippers.
Yeah.
On both sides.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's just something weird about this team that it just, I mean, they made a Super Bowl 2 fucking years ago, but
yeah,
last year was just so weird and disappointing. And like, I can't get my head around them this year at all. And like, Hard Knocks has barely fucking helped, you know? So I don't know.
I haven't watched any Hard Knocks this year. Like, I've literally almost done it out of protest about, I don't know, just like two LA teams.
You're like, fuck LA.
All wearing masks. No, I'm not complaining about the masks because there's a reason, but fuck. It's always about looking forward. Hard Knocks is great. Sorry, it's a bit of a sidetrack, but Hard Knocks is great about looking forward, following the story of particular players, then seeing them go to a preseason game, monitoring how they perform, and then getting the fallout. You're missing that whole element of it about seeing them on the field. It just didn't interest me.
Yeah. It is tough, and it's weird. Like, I'm just like, oh, so what happened? And then you, like, find out a couple of days ago, oh, that guy got cut. Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, well. All right, Arizona I've got coming in last in the NFC. And this is the thing. Like, Arizona could come in fucking second, and it wouldn't surprise me in the least. Like, all of these teams, they could literally be, from Seattle down, they could be 8-8, and I'd just be like, makes sense. They could all make the fucking playoffs. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
The question is,
can we rename them to Kyler to Hopkins for this year? This is just, The Kyler to Hopkins Cardinals.
Can we call them the Arizona Cliff Kingsbury's Mansion Cardinals?
Fucking Jesus. What a draft room, hey?
That was awesome.
What a draft war room.
So the question is, will Kyler Murray actually take a step up this year and actually take advantage of Hopkins and actually crush it, you know?
Well, looky, I'm going to go with yeah. I'm going to go with feeling something positive for the kid because, you know what, he showed he had an arm. He showed that he could put some plays on the board last year. It was just early. So, I reckon he can.
Yeah. He's a tricky one. It's like, I don't know, we've seen it with Russell Wilson, the short dudes that can work. Let's go with Kyler. Prove it.
Yeah.
I just don't want to trust anyone named Kyler.
You know, yeah. Is
your name Kyle? Or is it Tyler? What the fuck are you, Tyler? Yeah. NFC South, Tampa Bay, I've got them coming in first ahead of the New Orleans Saints because...
Wow. Look. This isn't a Pats fan talking, is it?
It might be a Pats fan.
It's Brady and Gronk. Jesus.
But the thing is, the flip side is the Saints, without the home field advantage, I feel like you look at their road splits over the last 4 or 5 years and you're like, wow, that's not very fucking impressive. And without fans there, I mean, what's the real advantage? Just, wow, we're playing in the Superdome. Sick. So give me Tampa Bay. The big question, I guess, is for you. Yeah, nah, Tom. He's 40 fucking three. Can he actually make a difference? Yeah, no. Can he stay healthy?
So I've got this.
Is this for real? Like, what are we doing? Yeah, nah.
So let me just... this was for my tips and about reasons for my tips. Once again, there's been no preseason games, but have a look at this lineup. So Tom Brady, Fournette, Shady McCoy, Mike Evans, Godwin, Gronk, OJ Howard, and Cameron Brate. Like, there's no better three tight end attack. When you've got Cameron Brate as your third tight end, that's pretty fucking good. You've got Shady is going to be kind of close to the Hall of Famer, even though he's past it. And you've got Fournette, they're going to get the most out of him. He's not going to be a bell cow related, you know, relying on Fournette for everything. And Brady's just going to be putting them all in position. And Mike Evans is fucking ridiculous. So
he's also already hurt, which is classic Mike Evans. So
yeah, it's true. It's true. You know? But there's so many weapons on that team. It's hard to see them. Well, they got to improve on last year. That's without a fucking doubt. But look, it's hard to see them not at least in the playoffs. Like on paper, at least.
Yeah.
And if anyone's going to pull it together, it's kiss your son on the mouth, Tom Brady. Right? Like.
So. I've got a feeling this is going to be a very squishy division in the top three, right? Carolina are just horrible. But I feel like Tampa Bay, New Orleans, and Atlanta are all going to be a bit same. I feel like Tom's going to struggle at times with Tampa Bay. He doesn't have the structure around him that he had in New England. He's learning everything on the fly, basically. It's the first time he's been out of his comfort zone in 20 years. He's got new dudes that he's never met apart from Gronk. I think there's going to be some struggles there, and having watched him fucking week in, week out, nonstop, I guess, for what, 20 years? I mean, well, how long have I had Game Pass? How long have I actually been watching them day in, day out? You know, 10 years at least.
Yeah.
Dude is not going to be fucking really flinging it and airing it out.
No. But what do I get that? Well,
Tampa Bay front seven, if they're not fucking snorch enough to give him a little bit of fucking space, it won't matter how good Godwin and fucking Evans are.
But while I agree with you,
geez.
How many playoff runs has he made? And don't get me wrong, I'm in no way a Tom Brady fan. Not that I have anything. I'm sure he's a lovely person. He looks great in his fucking Ugg boots, right? I'm sure I don't have a problem with him, but I also have a massive problem with him for beating the Eagles in the 2004 Super Bowl. So, no, but honestly, who's done more with a shit supporting cast?
Yeah.
Than him.
So this is why it's a fascinating question. It's like,
mate, if anyone can make it, I've got in my picks, spoiler alert, but let's just say I'm not leaning towards the Bucks in the first couple of weeks. But I reckon if anyone in the first 4 weeks can pull these guys together, Bruce Arians, mate, what a fucking coach.
Yeah, love it.
Right? He's a fucking gun.
All right, Saints, Father Time. Does he catch up with Drew Brees this year? Yeah, nah.
Well, the more important question is, does Sean Payton expect Drew Brees to pass more than 5 yards past the line of scrimmage?
Tough scenes. Tough scenes.
I think if you tie the seasons of the Saints and the Tampa Bay Bucks together, I feel like the Tampa Bay Bucks are going to struggle for the first few weeks until they get, you know, some games under their belt, whereas the Saints have been fading off at the end because Breeze's arm is just getting weaker and weaker as the season goes on, right? So their seasons are almost going to be polar opposites. But, look, it looks like, you know, one of the things that could have railroaded the Saints season would be a holdout from Kamara, and it looks like in the last, you know, 24, 48 hours, they're close to a deal, and he's going to be one of the highest paid running backs in the league. So that'll keep him happy. You've got Michael Thomas, who can just put 1,500 yards up on any team. So, fuck, who knows? I've doubted Drew Brees before, and he's effed me in the A, so.
There you go. Atlanta, a team full of first-round picks, can they actually put it together this year? They just constantly underachieve and disappoint. They're like, we've seen it so many times with, like, Super Bowl hangovers, and they've copped just one of the worst beatings in living NFL history.
Yeah, it's got to be soul-destroying.
Is this going to be a bounce back? Yeah, no.
It's got to be soul-destroying, right, Drew Taylor? So it's my mate who was sitting in there watching the Super Bowl at the same time I was when they was 20. What was it? 28-3? That's what it was when the comeback happened?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, look, to be honest, I do have a soft spot for Atlanta. Like, well, picked Matty Ryan to be my quarterback in my fantasy team. But you better be good. But look, like, they've always had good receivers. Like, fucking Julio, man. Like, he's just keeping it going with an average supporting cast for a long time. They've got it on paper. Can they do it in this division this year, though? You know? It all depends on the games that they... It depends on... The one thing I haven't checked is which divisions they're playing outside their own, because if you run in a world where they're going to split their games because it is going to be close, like, who are they playing outside the division and outside the conference? Man, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to work out where the wild cards are going to come from in the NFC. I think the AFC will be a little bit more clear cut about halfway through the season, but the NFC looks like it's going to play out close.
I feel like they've got a pretty tough schedule.
Yeah. Seattle,
Dallas, Chicago, Green Bay. So they're playing the NFC North as well. Carolina, Minnesota, Detroit, Denver, New Orleans, obviously twice, Vegas, Chargers, Tampa Bay, obviously twice, and a Kansas City game. Fuck. Yeah,
there's no gimmies in that, are there?
Well, apart from Carolina, that's who I've got at the bottom of the NFC South, because we talked about the Jags. I feel like Carolina might be pushing them for one of the worst teams in the NFL. How much barbecue can Teddy Bridgewater eat, do you reckon, this year? A lot.
Mate, I've got a soft spot for Teddy.
I love Teddy. Good on you for coming back.
I've got a soft spot for Teddy.
Anytime you have an injury that makes your teammates cry in pain and anger, Jesus, good on you for coming back. But still, that's fucking awesome. Love Carolina. Yeah. Have been to a game. I've actually been to a game in Atlanta as well as Carolina.
There you go.
Both awesome. Atlanta, it's going to be weird without fans. Well, it's Georgia, so who the fuck knows? They probably have 50,000 fans in there. But yeah, weird times to have no fans in those stadiums, but I don't think it'll matter either way for those teams. NFC North, Minnesota, I've got them number one. Going back and forth on this. Green Bay were lucky last year, I think, to win 13 games with a torridly shit offense. Minnesota were just staunch all year. And, like, I'm just hoping and predicting that they're just still staunch this year. And Green Bay maybe just drop a little bit. I want Chicago to be a little bit better than they are, but they're not going to be that good. And I've got Detroit basically battling them pretty much on the same level, probably around the same sort of record as well. I don't know. Minnesota... Kirk Cousins enough to get them over the hump? Can they actually make a Super Bowl? What do you reckon, Yena?
No. That's very fucking simple, no. I don't reckon they'll get to the Super Bowl. Look, no Stephon Diggs. Justin Jefferson's going to... Look, everything I've seen on college, he looks like he's going to be a fucking superstar. But first-year receiver, nah. I've also, when I talk about my biases, I've got a bias about Kirk Cousins from when he was at the Redskins. So, you know, walking down the race scrimmage. You like that, don't you? After a win over the Eagles. So fuck that guy. And also his fully guaranteed contract, right? But you know what? They put up numbers. They put up offense. They've got a strong defense. They're going to be up there. They're going to be a playoff team. They will be probably, if they don't win this division, they'll be at least very strongly in the contention for a wild card.
Yeah, this is the thing. So that's why I just feel like they're solid enough, right? Whereas Chicago, there's bigger questions, and same with Green Bay. Green Bay, I've got second. Is Aaron Rodgers going to be washed this year? What do you reckon, Gaz? Yeah, no?
Fuck. I know. It's look, Aaron Rodgers, years ago, he was one of those guys that I was always on my list of guys that you'd have a beer with. Stuff's come out about his being a bully and his bit of an attitude, and you're like, you know what? Maybe not so much, but I want to find out for myself. He's getting to that point where, look, there's a bit of revolution inside the team when it was Mike McCarthy and they were winning and they were coming close to Super Bowls. Then, you know, once again, the troops can be happy while there's success, and then it starts to fall apart. So, look, Aaron Rodgers came out in the last couple of days and said he believes that they're flying under the radar. They've got guys like Adams that are just fucking awesome. So, look, every time I've doubted them or everyone's written them off, then Aaron's been like, settle down. And they've come back and they've made the playoffs and done some ridiculous thing. Now, who else is – there's no one who scored – had more game-winning 60-yard Hail Mary fucking touchdown passes than Aaron Rodgers. So you can never write the prick off, right? And he dated Olivia Munn, so he's got that going for him. And Danica Patrick, so he must have something going for him.
Not bad. Still, I don't know. There's just a bit of I don't know. I like his kind of heel turn, right? He's kind of just turned into the ornery fuck you kind of dude.
Yeah.
As opposed to like the chuckle word.
Grumpy old man.
Whatever.
Yeah, he's a grumpy old man. But he used to turn up to all the training camps. It'd be a different costume every year. And actually, to be honest, Jimmy James, your handlebar moustache is looking pretty close to Aaron Rodgers' training cap one.
I just need a Canadian tuxedo and away we go. Chicago, can Mitch prove that he's actually an NFL starting quarterback? Yeah, nah.
I'm going to go with nah. I reckon I would put a more my more ripe question is, at what point does Nick Foles get put in as a starting quarterback? You don't pay a backup quarterback $21 million if you don't expect him to play some games. And the moment, once again, it comes down to the fans. If the fans were there, the moment big old Mitchy boy was if they lost two games in a row, that crowd in the Windy City would be screaming for Big Dick Nick to start.
He's got weapons a little bit this year as well. He's got Allen Robinson. He's got Anthony Miller. They brought in Ted Ginn. He's got Jimmy Graham at tight end. It's like, dude, let's just prove that you're actually okay at football. That's all I want to say.
To be honest, it's like with Jimmy Graham and Ted Ginn, though, it's like they opened the stats book from 2015.
Who are some good guys?
Yeah. Look, I think the biggest problem is, and he's on my football team, he's on my fantasy team. Montgomery has already been a little bit hobbled, and Tarik Cohen took a massive step back last year when we expected, you know, with the Nagy offense and Howard going, that Tarik would like step up, and that just didn't fucking happen. So if Montgomery spends any time like properly on the sidelines, then it could be really tough, because they don't have enough good quality air weapons to take away their own game.
Detroit, do you feel bad for Detroit? Yeah, nah.
Oh, yeah, I do. I do, because I remember the year they went 0-16. And then Matty Stafford. I got a soft spot for Matty Stafford ever since, like,
with his big, dumb face.
Yeah, there was like an NFL Films thing where I can't remember what it was now, but he's led a last quarter comeback touchdown in the end zone with like a broken hand or something. And, you know, the NFL Films, like slow motion, can he do it kind of shit. And he fucking did. And you've got that soft spot. He's always, the offense has never been a problem for Detroit. They always put up big numbers. And if you look at some... Look, the receivers on Detroit, like Golladay and Marvin Jones put up big numbers. It's just whether they can come together for a team as a team, because Matty Stafford deserves it, right? He's earned his time, boys. Just give him a couple of games.
That's all we ask. Now your home division last.
Oh,
NFC East.
Fuck. We want to keep this under 2 hours, right?
Yeah. And so Dallas, I've got them coming in top just because.
Justify your pick, mate. Justify it.
Their offense could be absolutely fucking spectacular. That's my argument. It could be absolutely unreal. New coach, light a fire under their ass. They get rid of fucking Spud McFucking Garrett. And they bring in Spud McCarthy, who actually genuinely looks like a fucking sentient Spud.
It's true.
Now you dress him up in blue as opposed to green. It's a blue Spud. Awesome. I don't know. Can they live up to the hype, though? This is the question always with the Cowboys. Yeah, nah.
Look, I think this is the yeah, nah question of every fucking year. On paper, on the amount of money spent, they've got it down, right? Like, I don't know whether Gallup doesn't get traded before. Like, you don't spend that much, that higher draft pick on someone like CeeDee Lamb to play him fucking as a slot receiver behind Gallup and Amari Cooper, right? Like, there's only so many passes to go around while you're fucking feeding Zeke. Like, it's just, I think Jerry's built up a big, big warehouse of personalities, and it's whether it all comes down. Like, on paper, they should be fucking killing it, right? They've lost a bit on defense. Whether that can stand up, whether any other NFC East team can come back. To be honest, the only thing the Eagles can wait on is injuries. Like, if they come back from that, then our offense will be good. But really, on paper, I can't really argue with picking the Cowboys.
Yeah. All right, Philly, I'm going to give this one to you. Do you have a yeah nah question for your own team?
Fuck. All right. So I drafted Jalen Hurts as one of my quarterbacks in who's currently sitting number three on the roster. My big question is, can Carson Wentz complete 16 games of the season and lead us to the playoffs? When he's on the field and when he's healthy, look, he proved last year that with a cast of fucking no ones at wide receiver, he could take us to the playoffs. So him staying healthy is what matters. And obviously Miles Sanders staying healthy as well. Boston Scott and Corey Clement, you know, Corey Clement being a nobody on the depth chart who put up 100 yards receiving as a running back in the Super Bowl.
You're talking about my cousin Corey.
Your cousin Corey. Yeah, your cousin Corey. So look, we've got a nice fucking stable of running backs. The wide receiver position has been massively upgraded with bringing in like Rigor and if he can get on the field because he's injured again at the moment. D-Jax, who killed it in the first two games and then got injured for the season. Alshon Jeffrey should come back at some point. It's all about the injuries, right? The defense has been somewhat rebuilt, getting in Darius Slade, spent a lot of money on rebuilding the secondary because we were burnt by the most by anything last year. We brought in some guys on defense, our defensive line. Fletcher Cox is always going to be there. We've already lost Derek Barnett for the season, Brandon Brooks on the offense. So, look, it's going to come down to injuries for Philly, as it seems to have done for the last 4 years since the Super Bowl. I think you're right. Second, I reckon we're going to be second.
Rang of pride. I just want Carson to do okay because he looks exactly like my eldest younger brother.
There you go.
Giants. Yeah. Can Danny Jones?
Danny Dimes.
Danny Dimes.
Danny Dimes. Dropping him a dime.
Can he dominate despite Jason Garrett being his offensive coordinator? Yeah, nah.
Dominate? Fuck no. Dominate in this division? Nah. Look, Saquon is the link to that. He's the fucking key to that team, right? Like, if you can't get rid of OBJ, look at what they had. They had the Amari Cooper Zeke kind of model of having a true number one and a true number one running back and shipped one of them off. Yeah, and then they bring in Danny Dimes, but they're still like a couple of pieces away from being a real contender.
Damn straight, damn straight. All right, last one. Finally, we got there. This is the entire NFL. The Washington football team. Are they actually sneakily better than we expect? Yeah, nah.
No, they're not.
They're horrible. They're going to be so bad. I'm going to turn around and laugh when they beat the Giants a couple of times. Maybe you like sneak up on Philly, but they're going to be horrible.
Yeah, look, Philly always has this thing of playing down to their competitors, so there's definitely a chance that we'll drop a fucking, you know, the danger game. But, look, Haskins, I just can't. Look, I just don't think they're very good. and there's also, they've had so many distractions with the whole name change and all that sort of stuff. The one thing that I think could save them is if something happens and Alex Smith comes in and they rally around Alex Smith, nice. Right? Like, what a guy. Like, have you seen any of the videos and the injury that he's come back from? Any other person would have just given up, right? But as much as I fucking hate division rivals, if there's a chance you're going to rally around someone, it's the story of Alex Smith. I'm trying to find a positive spin here, mate.
I think it's great.
The Washington football team. I fucking hate them. They're a division rival. But I'm trying to find a positive.
I also saw him tentatively walk in a pair of flip-flops without trying to snap his leg in half again. So I don't think he's coming
back. Yeah.
Poor bugger. So I don't know. In the playoffs, I've got the AFC. I've got the Chiefs, Tennessee, Baltimore, Bills winning the division.
Jesus, you're running through that. I'm not taking these notes. Chiefs, what did you say? Chiefs,
Tennessee, Baltimore, Bills. Yeah. Then Dolphins and Pittsburgh for the wild cards. And we've got an extra one this year, don't we? So I'm going to give that to Indy ahead of the Pats, which hurts my fucking heart. And the NFC.
I'm going to agree with you for the division winners, but I'm going to pull the Dolphins out. I want Steelers and Indy.
All right. NFC, I've got who? Seattle, Tampa Bay, Minnesota, and Dallas winning all the divisions. Yep. And then next up, I've got the Niners, Saints, and Philly. Rounding out the seven, so
sneaking in with the bee's dick. That's just because I'm on the other end of the microphone, right?
No, I think if Wentz can actually pull it together this year, Philly will be all right. So, all right, let's do three simp predictions about the season. For me, number one, I've got a new Pats quarterback. That means new excitement. It's a new love. I love Cam Newton, and my simp prediction is Cam Newton's going to break my heart. he's gonna get hurt within 5 weeks, and it's just then it's gonna be Stidham, and I'm gonna be so fucking sad because I was so psyched for Cam. But I've seen Cam, I've seen this like writ large so many times. He's gonna get hurt, he's gonna do something, or he's gonna play hurt and he's gonna be shit, and I'm just gonna be disappointed. So yeah.
All right, as an Eagles fan asking you, I'm gonna ask you questions for once. How many games until we see the Superman from Cam Newton? Can he pull it off? Can he get into the end zone on the first game and give us a Superman?
So I got Miami in the first game. I think that's actually a pretty good chance, especially with defenses sort of just being a bit of a shit show, I think, for the first 2-3 weeks. I think we might get a Superman in the first one.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll buy you a beer if you get a Superman in the first game. There you go.
Sweet.
When we can have a beer in a pub together.
When we can actually do that. Come on, December. All right. Have you got a sim prediction there you want to throw out?
Mate, if we're going to stick with our own team, I reckon that Carson Wentz is going to spend time on the sidelines. I'm going to wince every time he makes a run. Every time he makes a run this season. Good one. Yep.
A sim prediction for me as well. I've got Mike McCarthy will be he'll be okay in Dallas. It's pretty simple. It's very simpy. People are like, oh, man, he did really well with quarterbacks in, like, Green Bay. It's like he had Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest quarterbacks probably of all time. Like, they have always settled down with that. But I feel like he'll just be he'll just be better than Jason Garrett, and I don't think that's very hard, so I think he'll be good.
No. They're 8-8. The tradition is 8-8 in Dallas. But if you look at the history of Green Bay, they've got, what, 2 Super Bowl rings in the entire journey of 2 back-to-back Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's tough scenes, man.
So, yeah. And not that you'd... trust me, you'd prefer to be them than a Raiders fan over the last 20 years, but... Yeah.
And my other sim prediction was like literally there writ large at the very start, back-to-back KC titles. It's an easy prediction and it's a simple prediction because KC, look, we do this when you have a dominant Super Bowl champion, right? You sort of sit back and go, oh, wow, that'll be awesome. And speaking of Green Bay, like they sort of scrape through and win the Super Bowl. Then the next year they go 15-1 and they lose the fucking Super Bowl. So, I don't know. It's not actually as simple as you think, but I think KC are actually a little bit better than we're even really expecting. So, I think, this, you know, as long as injuries are okay, they'll come out and they'll win it back-to-back.
My second simp one is I only got one more, and that is that Mitch Trubisky won't be the starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears by the end of the season.
That's a pretty good one. Outback Takehouse. Can you get a flame grill take in you? Love a good flame grilled take. What do you want? A blooming onion? Here's a fucking fried fucking onion because we're in America and we're gonna fry a fucking onion because we're a bunch of assholes. Whereas an Outback Takehouse, I don't know, got a flame grilled take for you. The Pats will have a better record than the Bucks. That's a pretty hot take. Oof.
Wow.
Can you stand the heat there? I don't believe it. It's a pretty good take though.
Right.
I think there's a world where that could happen. I think it's a world where a 43-year-old Tom Brady goes, oh, that's right, I'm 43. Fuck. This sucks. But I don't know. I don't quite believe it. Anyway, have you got a flame grilled take there for Outback Takehouse gas?
Yeah, I'm just going to reverse. Now that I understand what this Outback Takehouse thing that you told me we're going to talk about is, I'm going to reverse one of the things that I said earlier. And bring in the Cowboys receiving core and change what I said about Gallup and have Jerry Jones realize what he can get for Amari Cooper and that he can develop Gallup and trade Amari Cooper and keep CD Lamb and Gallup as his 2 outside receivers. And Amari Cooper goes to, well, it won't be in the division because there's no way in fucking hell he's given Doug Peters Amari Cooper. But, yeah, he'll trade Amari Cooper to the AFC.
Love it. Quick up, but, you know, another Outback take. As Gronk is going to play less than 4 games this season.
It's possible. I haven't seen him. Look, to be honest, I haven't seen his form. I've seen his, like, retirement form, and he just lost a bunch of pounds. So has he been able to bring that back into and it's hit weight, as we were talking about before this all started, right? It's about being able to be taken down by a linebacker across the middle that he used to bounce off. Is that gonna get through 4 games, as you said, and just go, fuck this? I feel like there's a bunch to Gronk that wouldn't want to let Big Tommy down. So I reckon his body will give up before he does.
That's what I'm saying. I think he goes 4 games and then he gets pretzeled one time and goes, all right, fucking. Well,
yeah, fuck that.
I've suddenly got a back injury. See ya.
Yeah.
Have you got any other ones? How about Odell Beckham in between having his shit taken on him will demand a trade by week 5?
Oh, yeah, it's potential. There's definite fucking unrest there.
Yeah, Cleveland start off, what, 1-3? And he's like, I'm fucking out of here, motherfuckers.
Yeah, definitely could be. What about Earl Thomas back at the gets picked up by Seattle?
Ooh, love it. all right, let's do some predictions for week 1 and fly through these so we can finish it up. So we've got Houston at KC tomorrow. Do you want to pick the Lions? So let's do that. We'll pick against the Lions at least and see how we go. So Chiefs are 9.5-point favorites. Who you got?
Yeah, you can't. Look, it's 9.5 points. If Paddy's going to win, Paddy Mahomes going to win, he's going to win big. So I'm going to go with you got to go with the Chiefs. Kelsey didn't practice this week, but is apparently is on for starting. And for the Texans, Cooks has been limited, so he's a bit injured, and obviously no Hopkins since last year when they gave him a run. So you got to go with Chiefs.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks is actually still, like, he's seeing as many balls as many concussions he's had. So every time someone throws to him, he's like, now is it this one or the other four balls that are coming towards me that I'm meant to catch? Fuck.
Yeah. He's almost seeing as many balls as the amount of teams that he's played for.
That's it. I'm taking KC as well because I think we talked off air beforehand that I've mistakenly placed a bet on them anyway, so I really want them to cover.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Anyway, next up we've got Seattle at Atlanta. That is a ripper game to kick off the year.
Yeah, look, both teams could go either way, honestly. It could take the Seattle defense a little while to settle down. Russell's always going to be Russell, and unfortunately, you never know what Atlanta's going to show up. So, both on paper, great teams. Both can put up points. Both can stop the other team. I think I'd put more money on Seattle's defense than Atlanta's.
Yeah, on the road, Seattle are 1.5 point favorites.
Does the road mean much?
No.
Anymore besides the disturbance, you know? So, look, I'm going to go with Seattle.
Me too. Bills Jets. Oof.
Is it who or by how many? Because
all right, let's and the line
Bills have got to take.
Bills
this,
are going
right?
to kill this one. They're 6.5 point favorites. So that's a touchdown. I think I like the Bills a lot there with 6.5.
Yeah. It's interesting. I find that interesting that the Bills, considering that the Texans were playoff teams, that the there's a 9.5 point difference between those two, and the Jets are a train wreck, and there's only a 6.5 point difference. Yeah.
It is also week one, and squirrely shit always happens, especially with the Jets. With
the first
4 weeks, the Jets can always fuck you over, and I wouldn't be surprised if they fuck some people over and somehow randomly keep it very close with the Bills in week one, but that's how it goes. So you're taking the Bills there? Nice.
Yeah.
We're going chalk so far. Colts-Jags. Colts 7.5 point favorites against the Jags. I got to go the fucking Jags. I mean, the Colts. I mean, that's just...
Jesus, I nearly fell off my chair then, and I don't know how far to fall. Like, mate, you know, I already professed my love for Phil Rivers at T.Y. Hilton. Minshew, have I mentioned it? He's King Redneck. No Fournette. They've spent too much on Foles' contract. The Jags are a train wreck. Dumpster fire. Let's give this to the Colts.
All right. Indy, Jags.
You're recording this so we can see how shit we were at the end of the year, right?
I am. Just making sure that we've got everything written down so we know how bad we are. So we're both on Indy. We've got the same pick so far, so this is ridiculous. What else we got? We've got Chicago-Detroit. Ooh, that is a fun, weird game. Bears are underdogs by 3 points. So Detroit at home, basically just getting the home.
Yeah, I've got... Look, the reasons I mentioned before of Golladay and Marvin Jones, as a combination with Matty Stafford. Montgomery has been injured. He's been out for 2 weeks ago. He was told he was going to be out for 2 to 4 weeks. So he's going to be. I looked up today because he's on my fantasy team. He's going to be a game time decision. If they have no Montgomery, there's no Chicago.
Yeah,
I don't care what anyone says about their wide receiver core. They're going to have no running game, so they'll just double cover the receivers. And Mitch isn't good enough.
I'm just sick of going the same, so I'm going to go Chicago. Fuck it.
just do it on the back of Akeem Nicks and Khalil Mack, right? The defense is just going to play both sides of the game and score 5 touchdowns.
I also, look, as much as I can't trust Chicago, I can't trust Detroit either, so fuck that.
Yeah, true.
Miami, New England, this is at 3 a.m. on 7 mate in Australia if you're watching. I'm still going to take the Pats here. The Pats are 6.5 point favorites, which seems like a lot, though. So actually, I think the Pats will win it, but I think Miami cover. I think that's a close game, I think.
Considering you said that Miami was going to come second in the division, I was hoping you were going to say Miami were going to be different. I'm going the Pats here. I've too much in my life, too many times in my life, I've picked against Big Bill and his evil empire, and it's done me wrong. So I'm just gonna trust that he can pull it out here.
So it's weird because we've got a shit ton of like division games in week one, and there's another one, Packers Vikings. It's just, it's a little bit full on. Like, you probably don't need so many fucking division games right off the bat, but here we are, Green Bay, Minnesota. It's a tight one too. Packers, 2.5 point underdogs. So it's less than a field goal, isn't it? So basically, who do you like essentially really in this game? And that's kind of where it is.
This is one of those games where if you go back to the beginning of the podcast, I prefaced the entire thing where it was some of my decisions were going to be about past and my biases. And my bias against Kirk Cousins is really leading me in this one. So I just can't bring myself to pick against the pack for the Vikings. So I'm going to go with Mr. Rogers.
I'm going to go Minnesota, but it's like, I don't feel good about it.
I feel dirty.
It's like, yeah. Fuck Kirk Cousins. That non-COVID believing dipshit. It's like, if I die, I die. All right, fuckhead. Raiders, Panthers. The Raiders are favored by 3 points in Carolina, which this is a sneaky Carolina win, I think, out of nowhere.
Oh, I think, I'm going to go with Carolina, and I'm happy to go with the underdog here. I reckon a lot of this has got to do with people just don't know what to expect for the Panthers this year.
Yeah, cool.
It's going to take a couple of both teams. I think it's going to take a couple of weeks before we really know who they are.
So your Eagles are favored by 5.5 in Washington. I mean, it's just down the road. You're not going to have fans. It's against Washington. I mean, 5.5. If you can't cover this, your season's over. Like, come on.
I think I'd like to think we're going to look. To be honest, we've got no Elshon, no Rigor. We've lost starters on both sides of the line. But it's Carson Wentz. It's D-Jack's back. It's Miles Sanders. Carson Wentz has missed time like in the last week. He's only just come back in the last couple of days. Same with Miles Sanders. So, look, there's our defense will take time to settle down. I think we'll cover the spread. But then again, it's the Eagles, so I wouldn't be surprised if we did.
Cleveland, Baltimore. Baltimore are favored by 7.5 against the Cleveland Browns.
The way you pronounced that, I thought you were going to say 17.
Seven and a half. Cleveland, Baltimore. Though I feel like division games in the AFC North are always pretty tight. So I might take Cleveland there to cover where Baltimore come out and it's a really high scoring game. And Baltimore's defense isn't probably settled and Cleveland just sort of scraped by. End up losing by like something weird, like 4 or something.
Yeah, all right. I'm happy to take Ravens against you.
All right. Good. We've got Chargers Cincinnati after that. Oh, geez. That's a weird fucking game that I'm never going to watch.
Chargers Cincinnati.
Of all the awesome games we've got all this first week, you got Chargers Cincinnati. That's so fucking strange. Tyrod Taylor versus Joe Burrow. The Cincinnati Bengals are underdogs by 3.5 points. Can they pull it off? Can they win a game against the Chargers?
Now, you know what's going to decide this for me? Keenan Allen. I love Keenan Allen. I reckon he's just a tough dude who he's always done well on my fantasy teams. He's always put in solid effort. I'm going with the Chargers on the basis of Keenan Allen.
I'm
going
to go Cincy because fuck it. I feel like there's always a weird game where a shit team at home in the first 2 weeks just wins against a better opponent. And give me that for Cincy right now. Tampa Bay, Tom Bay.
I was going to go back and say, does Bosa like break through the line and knock Burrows out and he's gone for the entire season? All right, so moving on. Sorry. Tampa Bay and who?
It just depends on who Burrows is voting for, because if he's voting for Biden, Bosa's going to knock
him out. Yeah, true. Yeah, take his head off.
Straight for the neck.
He's going to do Miles Garrett to Rudolph swinging the helmet.
Give me a helmet, motherfucker. Tampa Bay against the Saints and another awesome, crazy divisional matchup in week one. Saints are favored by 3.5 at home in front of no one in the Superdome. I think there's like meant to be maybe 5,000 fans. I feel like I saw that in Louisiana, or is it? That was somewhere else maybe. But still, Tampa Bay, New Orleans.
Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay. I'm like, that's stuck in my head already. I gotta go
Tampa Bay because 3.5 point dogs. Come on, I'm taking that.
Nah, look, you know what? I'm gonna if the Saints win, they're winning big, right? And so I reckon they're gonna win and they're gonna cover. I can already tell you that the second division game between these two teams later in the year, I'm picking Tampa Bay.
Nice.
Because as I went back to before, I think, you know, Breeze has got only so much gas in him now, whereas Tom's going to bring the team together. It's a matter of how many games each team loses on the other end.
Love it. Arizona Niners. This one is also 7, mate, 6:30 a.m. 7-point favorites are the Niners. 7 points. Tough one.
The safe bet is sticking with the Niners. I mean, they're a losing Super Bowl team versus an up-and-comer rebuilding team. But as I said, Kyler to Hopkins. Like, Hopkins could. He's just got his new contract. He's got his new team. He's refreshed. He could fucking go off because that guy's a monster. So, but the safe bet, you have to. I'm going to stick with the Niners.
All right, Niners -7. I'm doing the same, I think.
Yeah.
It's very close, but give it to me.
I hope for the Cardinals.
Dallas versus the Rams. This is a rip snorter Sunday night football.
What's the record for points in a game? Are we gonna break 100 well,
the
100 game?
The over under is 50, it's 51.5 of the over under, so I'm gonna hit the over as hard as I fucking can. This is gonna be 35-30 in a heartbeat, isn't it? Dallas.
Aaron Donald's the only thing that can change this outcome.
Dallas are favored by 3.
Yep.
In LA. It's a tricky one, actually, really. 3 points. Home underdogs for the Rams.
Yeah, I don't think the Rams don't have a running game yet. They don't have an identity. I think they'll be all over the place, whereas Dallas will be a lot more settled.
Yep.
They have key pieces. If shit's not working with their receiving core, they'll just feed it to Zeke.
Off you go. Yeah, it's pretty simple. I've gone Dallas -3 as well. Yeah, Pittsburgh, Dallas. New York on Monday Night Football. The football Giants are 4.5 point underdogs at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
The G-men.
I kind of like the Steelers -4.5.
Yeah, I'm going to take Steelers, right? As I said before, it's that roll of the dice. Connor driving a truck through. Juju.
Yeah, I mean, Saquon could run the fuck over the top of the Steelers just out of nowhere in week one, but I don't really see it. Like, he could probably do it against literally any other team, I think. Against maybe
the D-line. The Pittsburgh D-line. Nah, yeah.
And then the final game of week one, Gaz. Tennessee, Denver. The Titans are 1.5 point favorites. I think Denver, even despite the loss of Von Miller... They're playing at altitude. It's week one. I feel like out of nowhere they win this. And everyone's like, wait, did we overestimate Tennessee? So I'm going to take Denver +1.5 at home.
Mate, yeah, I'm happy to take Tennessee.
All
that
right.
Run game combined with adding Clowney and then that run game with the loss of the Denver line of Von Miller. Yeah, I'm
going to
give it to Tennessee.
Nice one. All right. Well, there you go. That's a whole shit ton of predictions for you. So we'll usually finish off with the segment we lovingly call We Don't Care How Well Your Fantasy Team Is Going, Gaz. but, I mean, we've both done our drafts, right? And yeah. I feel already fucking horrible at my fantasy team and nobody cares. And how about you, Gaz?
Yeah, so look, mine's, so this is going to be
nobody cares.
It's going to be a regular segment that he's going to give me 30 seconds. So my team looks great at the moment. I've got CMC, I've got Matty Ryan, I've got Carson Wentz, but I can tell you that's all going to turn to shit within the next 3 weeks. If there's anything that fantasy football has taught me, it's that I know fuck all about football. And what's really going to happen is my star player is going to do his ACL and I'm going to rant about it and then I'm going to yell about the fact that the guy who's come in the first week has never seen anything about NFL, who basically auto-drafted, is killing everyone.
Love it.
That's the end of my rant for today, but it's going to pick up steam as the weeks go on.
You just get anger and angrier, and then you like just lay, you lay back and think of England by about week 11. Usually, you're just like,
dude, you've given up.
Fuck it.
You've given up.
Like, you get really hardcore on the waiver wire week 3, week 4. It's like, this could make or break my season. And then your season's usually broken. You're like, oh, fuck, I'm going to ride this out.
Yeah, anyway. And then a shit dude's got his name on the trophy engraved forever.
All right, man. Well, that's kind of it for the first episode of NFL Australia. Look, this entire, endeavor is basically going to be the same as the start of NBA Australia, flying by the seat of our fucking pants, not knowing what the fuck we're doing. And just trying to figure shit out as we go. So, there's been a long one. It's been a big prediction show, but fuck it. Who gives a shit? You know?
Yeah. Number one. It's been fun. Thanks for having me along, James.
Let's do it all again next week, man. It's been fun as shit.
When there's actually games to talk about, yeah?
And watch me kick the shit out of you on the picks this week, I reckon.
No hope.
All right, man. This has been NFL Australia Episode 1. Thanks for listening. Go check out NFLAustralia.com. Go check out NBAAustralia.com. Go check out the Ramshackle Army. I've been Jimmy. He's been Gaz.
Eagles.
How good has this
fly,
been?
Fly, Eagles, fly.
And we'll talk to you next week. Later, Hosen.
Later.